To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Yes, indeed. I'm among the stupid. So, just because Mark Grody's not here, we're in the missing Mark Grody formation. Have I been saying foundation this whole time?
Yes, you have.
God, I suck. And the texters are cluing me in about this. Steve, 815. Steve, you keep saying foundation instead of formation. Now, when the 815, the home of the Wake and Bake Club, is telling me that I'm using the wrong word, I know I'm screwed up. 224 asks, what sort of donation do you require for the Missing Mark Grody Foundation? I think that's outstanding.
Anything to help support Dave the Cat is really what it is.
Okay, so we have no Mark Grody, but that does not mean we don't have our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. And we've cobbled this together. It's sort of What Mark Heard and What Mark Read. And this is What Mark Heard. As many of you know, Mark and Les Grobstein had a very unique relationship. And Mark is now, after Les passed away, Mark did the first score overnight, and he has done overnights since, usually about 3 a week. And Trash Panda here has done one of those shows. And so you know.
Yes, I have. Yes.
You know the audio desolation, and you pray for phone calls. You hope for phone calls. You troll for phone calls. You want to enjoy these phone calls. And Mark got one of these calls around 4:30. Was it Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't know.
Wednesday morning.
Technically Wednesday morning,
yes.
So here's what Mark heard.
We don't need Devonta Adams. We don't need any Packers on the team.
Hey, that's a good. In keeping up with the flow of Grobber overnight, you're right. Get that puke yellow and green out of here.
And I do want to interject and say this fella's name was Rick in Beverly. I want to make sure his name's out there.
Just Rick in Beverly.
No, that cornerback on the Chargers.
No.
That's a free agent. Borat, my wife. They should sign Borat. My wife.
I got you, Rick.
My wife.
Okay, Rick. Okay. Anything else, Rick?
My wife.
All right, Rick. All right. That cut him off. Dump him, Sean. I mean, that was fine. I mean, yeah. I thought maybe there'd be something beyond the Borat, my wife, but there wasn't.
Wasn't deeper than we thought, huh?
Yeah, you gotta, like, if you're gonna call in with a bit, you gotta have more than that.
Get some new material.
Yeah, I gave you the 50,000-watt format. I didn't hang up on you, and then you didn't have anything beyond that. So I think that right there is a loss for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. So in other words, the next caller you have a chance to be an absolute hero. But I am now being told that I need to take a break.
I love that Grody called him out because I know this caller. This is if it, any
now,
producer
explain to the class how you know this caller.
Well, I know the bit that this caller is doing, and here this is what's really funny to me. Any producer that has worked overnights with Les
which
knows
is every producer,
yes, which is all of us, knows that this is one thing that comes up inevitably is that you're going to get prank callers every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either going to drop swear words or they're going to do this Borat thing. Now, the problem is Les will just immediately go away from it. Grody will just keep egging you on.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he did because this guy clearly had nothing else. Like, that's it. That's your bit. Okay, cool. That's
at 4:30 in the morning, yeah. He had nothing else.
Yeah, that's all you got? Okay.
Yeah, bring it, yeah.
I love that. I love that he called him out.
Speaking of Grody egging people on, that is the fact that it's the Super Bowl and he's doing Les's shift and he had a discussion with Les about the Super Bowl. I really think we need, Mark Grody poked and prodded him, do we have that cut, that stuff of him and Les talking about the Super Bowl,
which,
and Les telling him to just dump it, cut it off?
Oh, okay. Stop it. Let me find it.
All right. In the meantime, that's just so. In the meantime, there wasn't so much what Mark heard as what Mark read or what Textures wrote. And here's the best thing about what Trash Panda found this morning. Now, understand, Trash Panda reset for everybody when Score Overnights really runs.
So Score Overnights runs from Sunday at midnight, so Sunday night, midnight into Monday. And we do it every night up until the last one of the week is Thursday into Friday. Okay. So Friday morning.
Not this morning.
No. And in fact, I don't know. It was prior. I don't know when the last time we would have had
live
local programming on Saturday and Sunday overnight. It's been since before my time.
But that doesn't matter to some Score Texters, does it?
No, it does not.
Share with the class.
So, yes, I get in here when did I get here this morning? At 7:30 or so. And
I understand Mark Grody had not been here. We had not had the Score overnight.
Yes, keep in mind, there was not Score overnight.
Yeah, maybe since the Borat call.
So I'm getting ready for early odds here with Joe Ostrowski. And I take a quick gander at the text line as my eyes just kind of go over there. And I notice that someone is on here ranting about Score overnights. And the text had come in at, it's 8 hours ago now. So that would have been about 4 in the morning ish.
Mm-hmm.
Four ish. In the morning.
Or so.
And so, again, keep in mind, Mark Grody was not on last night. So this text.
Or the night before.
Huh? Well, no, he was on. He would have been on the night before.
Oh, okay. I didn't think he was on that Thursday. Okay, so what text?
Was he?
What did the text say?
So the text goes like this. It's from the 847 calling out not only Mark Grody, but our boss, Mitch Rosen. Stop giving Chicago an overnight lemon who neither understands the overnight audience nor comprehends how to respectfully talk to and interact with callers. You signed Les Grobstein. Good job. That is the Lakers signing Shaq, but Grody sucks. What else do you have?
Understand, you wrote that while listening to CBS Sports overnight, not
yes.
Mark Grody.
Yes. So I don't know if he was under the impression that was Grody he was listening to at 4 in the morning, because it wouldn't have been. I'm not entirely sure who CBS Sports Radio had on at 4 in the morning, but it was not Mark Grody. And so, first of all, many things with this text. Grody very much understands what Score Overnights is. And I know he takes every call that he can possibly get. All of us do that host that show because you are striving, like, you are trying your best to get every bit of content you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't turn away a phone call at 4 in the morning.
No.
And you're going to let, and Grody was talking about this in the afternoon show a couple days ago. He now understands, and I understand too, why Les let these callers go on for as long as they wanted. I had a 6.5 minute call on my first overnight show. I've never had a caller, talk to a caller that long.
And there was some question that was longer than you talked to Sweet Alice, your mom, but.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we have somebody. Do we know who was on the air on CBS Sports? Who
I would have
caller,
to look up there.
That would be an 815 response. I would expect the 815 to be waking and baking at 4. I don't know if they're just getting up or not.
Yeah,
even
I expect better out of the 847.
Yeah, yeah. I would expect the 815 would represent the Wake and Bake Club far better. The 815 gets its halftime show tomorrow with Snoop Dogg. And congratulations to the 815. I just think so. That was what Mark heard, what Mark read, only Mark didn't read it and Mark didn't know about it. So Mark is getting blamed for whoever the CBS overnight host was acting like he can't do Chicago.
Was it
sports.
That, or was it like my other thought was, did this guy think this CBS sports radio host was Grody? And, or was this just a latent reaction and the guy just doesn't like Grody? So this is something that a thought that he's had before while listening.
So this is delayed release.
And he decided that, you know what? Last night, I got to fire off this text.
Yeah. Now I'm going to do it. Okay.
That'll show him.
All right. So do you look forward? Do you spend time watching the Super Bowl commercials? Do you rate the commercials? Do you care about the commercials? Where are you on this?
I have felt in the last several years the commercials haven't been as good, but yes, I do tend to watch the commercials, not intently, but I tend to spend more time sitting through the commercials during the Super Bowl than I would otherwise. Regular games.
815 texter, by the way. Yes, we do Wake and Bake it for, at least I do. Well, that's why you're in the 815. So the most memorable commercials for you?
Oh, let me see. Off the top of my head here, you caught me off guard. I would say I always really enjoyed the Anheuser-Busch ones.
The Budweiser ones. The Hallmark moments with the horses.
Well, no, not even those ones. The funny Budweiser ones they used to do, like with the frogs.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking. I love those commercials. My favorite all-time Super Bowl commercial actually was a Bud Light commercial where they had, there's two of these. And there was one, this was years ago. It might have been during like the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl where it was, do you remember the Battle Robots show from way back when?
Yeah.
So it was a commercial with those. Like one of these robots was this really badass one that had like all this stuff on it. And the other one was just a mini fridge on wheels. And it comes out and it opens and there's like a Bud Light inside. And the robot just like gets all hesitant and starts reaching for the Bud Light. And then this giant hammer comes out of the back of the fridge and smashes the other robot. I loved that. That's maybe my favorite one.
I would think that's generational. I do not remember that. I don't think I would have remembered it had I seen that. I'm not sure that I did. The name that always pops to mind with Super Bowl commercials, seeing the Apple one is always but that wasn't what they, with Super Bowl commercials became to me. Terry Tate, office linebacker. That was
a good one.
Right. And so it's going to be reprised in a way this year with Gerard Mayo doing a Hellman's mayonnaise spot.
Good.
And you know what he does is he destroys Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson's in this commercial with Gerard Mayo, and Pete Davidson says, I've got a pretty hittable face. I love that.
That's hilarious.
I hope Kanye is watching because I'll bet Kanye thinks the same thing. All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of Mayo in the news, we're late for this. We're late for a break. We got Evan Altman coming up. But there was that Duke's Mayo Bowl, right? And they poured mayo on the coach, right? Bobby Wagner of the Seattle Seahawks was commenting on it for some reason a couple months ago and said, I hate mayo. I hate it. It's awful. He was ripping mayonnaise. And so
blasphemous.
The people from Duke's Mayonnaise retweeted what he said, when they quoted the retweet, they put in the NFC West standings with Seattle in last place.
That's amazing.
Yes. That is your Mayo in the news. All right. We'll talk about the Cubs. They involving watching things. They want you to pay more money. We think. We'll see where this stands. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Trash Panda. We are in the missing Mark Grody formation. But we should start a missing Mark Grody foundation because people would pay money to bring him back, right? And find out who stole the Provasic from Wiener Circle. This is Saturday Suckage. Like, you figure that out, right? Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
If I hadn't given consideration to what it would mean to miss games, I wouldn't be doing my job. Obviously, I pay attention to that. I see missing games as a disastrous outcome for this industry, and we're committed to making an agreement in an effort to avoid that.
That is Major League Baseball's pool boy, Rob Manfred, lying to everybody. Man hates baseball. He's in charge of baseball. Well, he's in charge of baseball when the owners tell their pool boy what they want. So I don't, till there's an agreement, I don't believe a thing he's saying. Welcome and welcome back, Steve Rosenblum. And we're in the missing Mark Grody formation. I said it right that time.
Not foundation, yes.
Not foundation. But I really do think that we should start the missing Mark Grody foundation. We should take donations, and the donations could be like a blunt or a fatty or something like that, and we could get Mark back. We could rescue him from Dave. I think Dave the Cat is holding him hostage. I think that's really what's going on. For now, we brought up Rob Manfred again because Trash Panda played him because they're in charge of they're insisting they're going to get an agreement. really. I don't want to talk about that. I just think it's a load of crap. Tell me when you want to play baseball. And I don't think it's easy to talk when nobody's missed a paycheck. Number one rule in life, follow the money. Nobody's lost any money yet. So I think Rob Manfred's full of crap. The players are just whatever. One thing they allegedly agreed on, but again, it's not finalized, is they've agreed on a universal DH. We'll see about that. But we will talk about that, and we will talk about how you might or might not watch your Cubs if they play baseball this year. And we're going back to the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Welcome back to the show, Evan Altman of CubsInsider.com. Evan, thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem. I thought you guys had forgotten about me.
No.
With baseball being in a deep freeze. So it was nice to get the text from Adam and be invited back on. Well, I always appreciate the time.
We love talking with you, and you have to go kick Rob Manfred in the shins and say, stop being a liar and just make a deal. But one of the things you wrote curiously and passionately about this week was what Sinclair might be doing against Major League Baseball's wishes, it might seem, in some convoluted way, because it wants to stream and it's sort of the Bally's rally of wherever it's going to bring what used to its RSNs. What is going on? The Cubs just are finding another way to ask for more money, twice as much money as I might pay for HBO on a monthly basis?
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, you know, we saw the play. It was a couple years ago when Sinclair made the bid for the former Fox Sports regional sports networks, which when Disney acquired Fox, it had to spin this stuff off, and so Sinclair paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 billion for that. And then Sinclair is also a 50-50 partner with the Cubs on Marquee Sports Network. They're a minority partner on the Yankees Yes Network. And so they, in this play that they have, and as people know, getting into a $10 billion purchase like that with an industry where the bubble had kind of already burst was a little bit curious. But they're bleeding money. They need to find a new stream of revenue. So they got with Bally. They branded those RSNs to Bally. And now what they're trying to do is combine their broadcast rights between the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, and put out a new streaming service, a separate direct, it would be like Netflix or Hulu, or, you mentioned HBO Max and charge $18 a month for it. So they're trying to bring these teams aboard and kind of do it without Major League Baseball, not that they don't know about it, but without their approval, because they're just saying, we're going to go ahead and do it. We're going to pay these teams money to broadcast their games. And if MLB won't do it, we will. The Cubs are in conversations with that. So they could be part of it. So for those folks who have cut the cord, who don't want to pay for their cable bill, to get Marquee, they may be able to do it through this new streaming service if it ever gets off the ground.
I find myself to be, I guess, somewhat torn about this idea, Evan, because I fully believe that Major League Baseball does not give itself or does not make itself as accessible as it should be. However, it feels like you're probably going to still be pricing people out on this because it's something you still have to pay for, which you do. If you want to see Marquee, you have to pay for it somehow, whether it's through your cable or if you want to pay for Hulu to get Hulu Live, whatever, you have to pay somehow to get it. So it just, why is it so hard to watch baseball? And this is larger than just the Cubs conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger problem, so if we take that from and kind of zoom out, it's because Major League Baseball is, Rob Manfred and the rest of the league is trying to protect the revenues that they make from their broadcast partners, right? And a lot of that comes down to the playoff games, which for the most part aren't going to be affected by these streaming rules anyway, because those broadcasts, the playoff broadcasts are primarily on either, they could be on Fox for the World Series, or you've got TBS, TNT, things like that are on basic cable. But a lot of this comes down to the regular season stuff. Major League Baseball blacks those out. They don't make it available to people who don't have the cable package or who are not in the area, because they say, we want to protect these relationships we've got with our partners locally, which is a little bit weird, again, in this day and age when everybody's got their phones and computers and that's how they can watch. But now what you've got is this new entity coming into play, and they're looking for a new revenue stream. They want to pay these teams. The teams want money from them. And so that all makes sense. But I think there's just there's a lot of issues there. But you have so many people, and the Cubs and White Sox are both in the same position to where they're what's considered their local market, quote unquote, is pretty broad, right? I mean, you got folks in Iowa, you've got folks across Indiana, throughout Illinois, parts of Wisconsin, and they're saying, well, I don't want, you know, I don't even have a cable provider where I can get Marquee. I don't live in an area where I get good enough bandwidth that I can get these games and stream them. And so you have a lot of folks who are just out of it, and you know, they're not going to want to pay another $18 a month on top of everything else. So they're not going to want to give up their cable just to get this $18 a month sports subscription to watch one team. Doesn't matter about all the other NBA teams that are out there. So yeah, it's a really tough position, and baseball has not done a very good job of making its product accessible. So they've pushed teams to take this other alternative, and fans are the ones left in the lurch at the end of the day.
We're talking with Evan Altman, a Cubs insider, here on The Score. Evan, are you taking a sleigh ride with sleigh bells ringing in the background as we do this interview?
I am, yeah. You know, it's either that or it's a bunch of 7th and 8th graders trying to play basketball. But I'd almost rather be on a sleigh ride at this point based on how the game is going. So okay. We'll see.
I have a question about my diva lives out in Hollywood, and she is a... She has the misfortune of being a rabid Cubs fan, and she has the MLB at the at-bat app, MLB app, the at-bat, whatever they're calling it these days. So on her phone or wherever, whatever device she has, what would be the difference in that? Would that be available to her or not if this Sinclair Marquee Cubs conspiracy were to be hatched and brought to market?
Yeah, that's what I'm not entirely sure on, because it's, you know, the thought would be, and that's the great thing about the MLB .TV is that, you know, if you are outside the market, you can actually get your team's games if that's what you want to watch, right? Unless, and here's the wonderful part, right? You got someone who lives in Los Angeles, they want to watch it for the Cubs. They cannot watch, for instance, the Dodgers or the Angels. But if the Cubs are in Los Angeles playing the Angels, you can't watch the Cubs games because now it becomes a local broadcast. And there's a whole snafu with Sportsnet LA. That's what the Cubs were trying to avoid with Marquee. They didn't. So before I get too far afield, yeah, I mean, the point with this is supposed to be that it would be like Netflix or Hulu or anything. It doesn't matter where you are. You're just purchasing this streaming app, and then you'll have access to all the teams that are on that. Now, do the respective leagues go along with that and say, and we've heard that so far there are 5 major league teams that have gotten approval, but we're talking about relatively small ones, the Brewers, Tigers, some others that don't really move the needle. But if you start seeing the Cubs move to something like that, as I mentioned, because of Marquee and the Sinclair tie there, but the Yankees with yes, if you see big market teams start to move over to a product that MLB's not getting money from, I think that's the point where you start seeing some people get a little bit upset about it. And Manfred's going to have something more to say, because he is not very happy with Sinclair. He doesn't like that. There's been a fight. Again, Major League Baseball was one of the bidders for those Fox Sports RSNs. They wanted to get in as a partner with Sinclair when they did this, and Sinclair rebuffed them. So they beat him at the bid, and then they wouldn't let him buy in. So I think Major League Baseball has an axe to grind as well. So this could get very, very interesting if some flagship organizations start joining.
And, well, correct me if I'm wrong here, Evan, because I thought, and I might just be misunderstanding the nature of this, but didn't MLB hand the ability for teams to control their streaming rights over to the teams? And that's why, for instance, like here at The Score, we can stream the Cubs games online now. We up until last year, we weren't able to do that. So can MLB do anything to stop teams from doing this, I guess is my question. Or did they hand this over to them and now it's in their control?
Yeah, there is a measure of control there, certainly. And I think the issue comes into how much revenue are these teams getting from the respective sources, right? If MLB is able to cut them off perhaps from some of the revenue sources, I don't think they can flat out tell them, no, you can't go do this, but I think there could be maybe some other ramifications that would come into play. Now, I'm not talking about revenue sharing in the greater terms of what's defined by the collective bargaining agreement, but, you know, right now teams get money from MLB.TV subscriptions and that sort of thing. You know, the issue is Sinclair raised about $600 million in order to put this thing out there, and they're using that money they generated to pay these teams for their rights. So then it's a matter of, do these teams feel like I've got a better option going with this Sinclair deal? Do they think it's going to be viable and actually last, or do they stick around with the rest of the league and stay with that package? So again, that's where it comes into, you know, is there going to be some infighting on these broadcast rights? How much is going to be offered? Are teams going to make more money? What happens if they go with Sinclair and the thing goes belly up? Do they face retribution at that point? So I think there's a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made by these teams as they determine how do they want to put out those broadcast rights, who are they going to stream through, and for how long are they going to do it? So there's a lot still in play.
It just seems like an awful lot of arrogance on to be discussing this, to have this come out when you've locked out the players and you the owners have done this. And the owners are doing this at a time when there's no games. And by the way, we want you to pay a ridiculous amount of money. I think it's arrogant to think their product is worth more than whatever you might pay HBO for, HBO Max or whatever Netflix is, where there's far more entertainment value than you get from Cubs baseball most recently. And or any team for that matter. But I think baseball owners have traditionally found themselves to be at odds with sanity at times, and I think they are now. However, if we can talk some baseball, Evan, when there is baseball, it would appear that pitchers will not bat. And I was heartened. I smirked and laughed out loud. I did not smirk. Jim DeShays tweeted after Rob Manfred said they had agreed to a universal DH, quote, "To the extent that I contributed to the demise of pitchers batting, I offer a heartfelt apology." Now, it should be noted that Jim DeShays slashed .088/.141/.088, and he finished his stellar offensive career with an OPS plus of a sparkling -33. So we appreciate Jim DeShays. What does that do for the Cubs? Does it suddenly make Kyle Schwarber a lot more attractive? Does it change wherever you saw their calculus with the way they moved at the end of last year and then actually made some free agent moves, and who knows what Carlos Correa might or might not do after Marcus Stroman? What does this change anything in your mind, and how?
I think it definitely does change the calculus a little bit, not just for the Cubs, but really for the National League in general. Although I think Schwarber is certainly a pipe dream, and not because of how much money he wants. I don't know that Kyle Schwarber is real amenable to returning. I don't think he's real happy with the way things ended, and how unceremoniously he was just kind of let go. So I don't see him returning at all. However, you know, we have heard your own Bruce Levine there was talking about maybe an offer for Anthony Rizzo. And I know a lot of people initially thought, well, gosh, why would you do that? You know, Frank Schwindel's kind of coming to his own, and certainly much cheaper than Rizzo as well. But the idea of having a designated hitter, now all of a sudden you've got, because what's the big knock on Rizzo? It's been his back. Well, if you can take a guy like that, rest him more frequently than usual, and you've got a righty-lefty between Schwindel and Rizzo, and then the fact that Cubs lineup has a real lack of left-handed punch, it allows you to kind of go out and be a little bit more targeted in terms of who you're picking up. And it can allow some of those players to extend their careers a bit more. You know, they've got some young guys coming up who are really exceptional hitters who, you know, maybe they don't have a position quite yet. You're trying to bring someone on a little bit more slowly. For a team that's got such a strong farm system, it allows them to kind of spread that around a little bit. So I think, again, it's really being targeted and saying, boy, we need left-handed power. We don't really have a spot for this guy in the field, but hey, guess what? Now that DH is open. So, I think that helps them as far as this little rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it, to maybe accelerate that a little bit, should they choose to do it. But they still need a lot more firepower than that. So I don't know that they need more than one superstar, but I think getting another superstar in there, whether that be Correa or someone, is a necessity at this point. They just do not have enough power in that lineup and enough personality either. I think they need somebody who can really be the face of that team that they're lacking after all those trades.
Okay, so you bring up the face of the team. What did you make of the rumblings that the Cubs could bring back Anthony Rizzo this next season? Because, and here's my main beef with if they were to bring him back. They did something like this last year, and it would feel similar to me as when they brought back Jake Arrieta last year. It felt like just a fan, here's a fan guy. The fans love him, so we're going to bring him back, and the fans are going to be happy about it. And I think that Anthony Rizzo would make a better impact than Jake Arrieta, who was just washed at that point. But what did you make of that, and would it mean anything to the Cubs or Cubs fans? Like, how do you think they would react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's mixed, and as you said, I think there are some concerns, you know, these last couple of years for Rizzo. 2020, you kind of take with a grain of salt, but still, you know, the numbers have not quite been there. You know, we're not seeing that same consistent production. However, you know, as I mentioned, with that DH spot in there, with maybe the ability to balance things a little, and with them needing, not only they need to make a big PR move because, you know, the things that the team has been doing in general with all the trades and even going back before that, you know, not really doing anything to supplement those core players prior to being traded, they could really use some fan service. I think, you know, if you track all the hubbub and everything else they've been doing, season ticket sales have not been nearly where they want them to be. There are some things that they probably need to do from a fan service standpoint. But I really do believe, you know, if they were to go after Rizzo, if they were able to get him on kind of a 2-year type of a deal, 2 or 3, and maybe go with a little higher AAV, average annual value, for those who are not familiar with it, and bring him back in there, I think that's helpful. He could help the team. But at the same time, if I'm Anthony Rizzo and that's the only kind of a deal I'm really able to secure, I'm probably looking to do that with a team that's going to be able to compete immediately. I don't come back without the assurances that club is going to build some other players around me or, you know, that I'm going to be one of the players who's being added in addition to a superstar. So if I'm him, I'm probably looking to stick around with the Yankees, maybe head down to Miami, you know, stay in the warm weather, be close to home to finish out my career, if that's the deal. So it's a neat kind of a feel good story, and I think it could help him, but I don't know that it's really that realistic.
Evan, we appreciate your time. Thank you for answering the phone in between baskets, and we'll look forward to actually talking more baseball next time we talk with you.
I appreciate it. I hope Grody's getting plenty of rest after all those overnights. You know, yeah. I'm pleased that I didn't have to deal with him this time around, though. So,
all right, well, we'll save that. We'll save that for you. 708 texture says, if Grody didn't work last night, why isn't he here? We don't know. We don't know. Dave the Cat must be holding him hostage. Is all I can figure. So, thanks, Evan. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. That's Evan Altman, Cubs insider. And I don't know. We have I don't know where where Grody is. Dave the Cat has not sent out a list of demands. We don't have a hostage negotiator talking to the cat. So we'll see how that goes. But we were talking last segment about the what Mark heard, what Mark read. He got text hating on him, even though he hasn't been on the air for a day or two. And we had a 260 texter. I confess, I have texted the score in response to an archived show I was listening to on Rewind. Middle of the night, holidays, shouting into the void, W and B style. Well, the Wake and Bake Club appreciates your confession. We welcome that, and you get your halftime show tomorrow with Snoop Dogg. In the meantime, as the Super Bowl week rolls along, it's I found reason to laugh and reason to cry. So I'll share that with you when we come back. I'm Steve Rosenblum on Saturday Suckage, the Missing Mark Grody Foundation. See? Did it right there. I can't stop saying that.
Now the question is, did you do that on purpose or not?
It's an earworm, whatever it is. I can't stop doing that. And he's Trash Panda. It's just part of Suckage, I guess. And not even steering it that way. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
What Saturday Suckage is all about. And as me and Trash Panda argued, went back and forth earlier, here's another reason to root for Cincinnati. which is not a reason they're going to win, but to root for Cincinnati. Some schools in Cincinnati have already announced they will take Monday, February 14th off. Kids get tomorrow off for a Super Bowl hangover day.
Man, that needs to be a thing all over the planet.
It is. It should be a national holiday.
Yeah, I agree. And especially if your team is in the game. That should be guaranteed day off the next day.
It is. That's another reason that civic pride should.
I remember having to go to school the day after the Bears lost the Super Bowl. It was miserable, especially because there was a Colts fan in my first hour class.
Minus 20 degrees. No wonder. You want to go outside for that? There was that Super Bowl. Okay.
No, yeah, the one they lost, the good one.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I remember that. I wasn't alive when they won.
That's right. I was in the Missing Mark Rohde Foundation, so I'm really screwed up about that whole thing. 779, if you think I'm screwed up, if I can't separate foundation from formation, a 779 texter, I think Mark Brody, B-R-O-D-Y, is doing a good job on overnights. By the way, 779 and 815 are the same area code.
Well, by definition, they are not.
That explains a lot. And yeah, by definition, exactly right, Trash Panda. They are not.
That is why they are separate area codes.
With different numbers.
Yes. Yes, maybe at one point it was all one, just like most of Chicago was all 312 at one point, and now it is not.
It is not, which means it's not. All right, so at top of the hour, we will talk with Danny Parkins. He will have a playoff preview show at 11 o'clock on this here very station. Parkins and Spiegel show, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. In the afternoon show is a dynamic. It's laughs and sports and all kinds of good stuff. And Danny will be here. We'll talk some betting with him. Prop bets and what actual real bets and stuff like that. We'll talk Super Bowl. But this week, Andrew Whitworth, a Rams offensive lineman, used to be a Bengals offensive lineman. He has been in both cities, and he was the winner of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And, you know, certainly means something here. Certainly means something when Walter Payton's name is attached to it. And Andrew Whitworth was... You know, you get it for your work in the community, your way you embrace the community, the way the community embraces you. And here's a guy on both sides of this Super Bowl. He once played for Cincinnati. He now plays for the Rams. This will be his last game Sunday. He was Walter Payton Man of the Year. And in the course of accepting this award, he offered this, and I got teared up. Maybe you will too.
But one experience brought it all together for me this year, and it happened to me on a football field. In our game against the Detroit Lions, I had a young player from the Lions run up to me as soon as the final horn went off. And I saw him sprinting over, and I didn't know what was going on. Like we'd known each other forever. I couldn't place him. It made me so nervous. Had I actually played long enough that like a coach's son or player's son is playing against me? He stopped that. He said, "Hey, man, you're not going to remember me. I'm Derek Barnes. You spent time with me when you were a young player in Cincinnati at the Boys and Girls Club, and it meant the world to me. You used to sit with me and talk to me about life, and I was just a little kid. I want you to know how much it meant to me." I said, "Man." He goes, "You know what? The main thing I wanted to say, Whit, I made it. I made it to the NFL, Big Whit." Wow.
Andrew Whitworth, your winner of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and deservedly so. That was tremendous. I just love that speech. I loved hearing him say that. So if we may leap from that to what a touching thing that was to you can never, I think, can I get a show of hands on this?
Okay.
Is there ever a bad time to bring up the trolling of Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes?
No.
Okay.
That's I can speak for the rest of the audience on this one.
So they're playing the whatever the Phoenix Open is, the dumpster fire open, whatever the trash collection thing, the golf tournament, the PGA golf
waste management.
That too. And do you know what that's known for? What that particular golf tournament is known for, Trash Panda?
And the fact that the crowd actually goes crazy the whole time and isn't dead silent.
16th hole.
Yes.
Stadium, and it's basically golf's kegger. That's what it is. There's much vomit involved.
Like the real life Happy Gilmore.
There is a yes. Right. So in order to get the run for those seats, people line up at 3 a.m.
Not worth it.
For gates that open at 6.
Not worth it.
The first golfers would not get there until 11.
Not worth it.
It's just there were already people passed out. So at the Phoenix Open, or the dumpster fire open, the 16th hole, the notorious 16th hole, this picture was taken and sent out on Twitter. It is a sign written on a blank seat, and it says, "This 16th hole seat reserved for Brittany Matthews." And right next to it is another sign, a white grease board. "This 16th hole seat reserved for Jackson Mahomes."
That's amazing. Well, they're not doing anything, so.
Troll them. This should be a weekly bit. The weekly trolling of Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes. All right, we'll take a break. We will talk with Danny Parkins of the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Parkins has a 2-hour playoff preview as part of our Super Bowl coverage tomorrow on The Score. And there are some prop bets out there that we'll let Danny break down, because this is just what he does. It's right up his alley. We're happy to have him. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're in the missing Mark Grody formation. Hey, got it right! And there's Trash Bandish, Saturday Suckage. That's right. I just want to let everybody know, you don't have to call the gazpacho police on me, because I got it right. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.